Lamentations chapter 3. I am so excited about this text this morning. I hope and pray that God would give me grace to be able to preach it in a way that would be most glorifying to Christ, because it deals with a subject which is often very confusing, but it should be a subject of great comfort to the true believer. And really what sparked this message was a conversation that I happened to overhear last week, not trying to be nosy, but they was out in the public break room and just happened to hear the conversation between two certain women. And one said, speaking about the death of their loved one, one said, "Well, the Lord knows." Have you ever heard people say that? She said, "Well, the Lord knows." To which the other replied, "Yes, but that doesn't make it any easier or better." And I thought all week about that conversation. And I said, you know, that's the general census and popular opinion of countless people today when they speak about God, grief, and His compassion. Yes, of course the Lord knows, but it doesn't make it any better or easier. I thought to myself, that is a truly erroneous thought. If the Lord knows, it should make it better and easier. Most of us this morning have been through the loss of loved ones. We know the pain that it causes. But because we as Christians know the Lord, it does make it easier. It should. Because we not only believe in the sovereignty of God, His divine providence, that nothing's done without His permission, His decree, His ordaining it. Nothing in this world is done without God's knowledge. But we also believe in the compassion and mercies of our Father. That He doesn't do anything just to do it. There's a reason. There's a purpose behind everything God does. And though we might not understand at the present what that is, we know by God's word and by God's character that whatever God does, He does for a purpose, for a reason. And sometimes, if not often, that is our greatest comfort. Even though we don't understand the reason why, our comfort is God knows not only that it happened, why it happened, but there's a reason and purpose behind it happening. Verse 32, "But though He cause grief, yet will He have compassion according to the multitude of His mercies, for He doth not afflict willingly from the heart." He doesn't do it with pleasure and delight, is what that means. "Nor grieve the children of men." You know, Jeremiah, same prophet that wrote Lamentations, 29:11 said this, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you." Listen to these words. We've read them a lot. You probably know them very well, but listen to them this morning in the light of our message. "I know the thoughts," God says. He doesn't say, "You know." He says, "I know. I'm telling you my thoughts." And let me tell you something about God's thoughts. It's not like our thoughts. I think we know that. But when God says, "I have a thought," it's not just something He thinks about. It's His plan and His purpose. That's what He's saying. "This is what I plan. This is my purpose. I know my thoughts," or "the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and of not of evil," not of adversity, affliction, and burdens, or hurtful, "to give you an expected end." In other words, to give you an end that you desire and hope for. God said, "That's my thoughts. That's what I'm working in you. I'm working in you an expected end. You might not know what my thought or plan is, but you need to know I'm working in you so that you can reach that hoped for, that desired end." Listen to me, please, because I want to help you this morning. I've been there. You've been there. Some of us might be there again soon. God says, I'm working in you. This is my thought. This is my plan. This is my purpose. And I'm God. I can do whatever I want. This is my plan. I'm not intending to hurt you. I'm intending your good, because I have an expected, a hoped for end for you. And I'm working towards that end. Every single thing God does in our lives is for an expected end, dearly beloved. If you're a child of God, it's for an expected end. If you're here without Christ, this has no effect for you. This has no comfort for you. Because being not a child of God, He's not working anything for you except for your eternal destruction, because you're outside of Christ. But for every true believer, God says, everything that happens in your life, I'm working for an expected end. And our text explains this morning a part of that vital lesson of God's thoughts or purposes. And I want to kind of look at that just for a few minutes this morning, if you'll let me. Look in verse 32 again. He says, but though He cause grief... Stop and slow down and listen to the text. Okay? Preaching is a two-way street. I preach, you listen. You have to give effort. Okay? If you're just sitting there falling half asleep, you're not going to get it. You have to work too. Okay? There's sermon preparation on my side, prayer on my side. There's prayer and attention on your side. That's how it works. But I want you to listen to the text this morning. Let's slow ourselves down for a little bit this morning, because it's a very important subject. I want you to listen to the words. Listen to it. Okay? But though He cause grief. The Bible says God causes grief. In other words, He sets it into action. He's the one that brings it about. He does not do it willingly or from His heart or because He delights in it or pleasures in it, but He does cause grief. But even though He causes grief, He'll have compassion according to the multitude of His mercies. That's an amazing statement in these two verses. One that we really need to comprehend, because this is talking about a depth of Christianity which we all need to understand, because we're all going to experience it if we haven't experienced it already. Spurgeon said it best, and I say this in regards to this truth in our text. He said, you know, sometimes as Christians, we have to wade out into the deep things of God and lose ourselves and come back up refreshed. What's that mean? Get totally lost in God. Get over our head in who God is and come up refreshed, realizing He's still God. He's a sovereign God. And the Bible here shows us a part in the heart of God that many of us ignore or haven't learned. But we need to listen to it. Okay? Notice that grief in our text, though God does it not willingly from His heart, is what the Bible just said. He said it comes from God. Grief comes from God. But though He, God, sets into action, brings about grief. Grief comes not by chance. Listen to me. Our text says grief doesn't come by chance. It's not an accident. It's not due to second causes. Grief comes according to the divine will and counsel of God. Listen to me. It comes by the divine will and counsel of God, when, where, and as He deems it fit. Listen to me. That's what it's saying. But though He cause grief, it's not an accident. Why do you think I keep telling you now for 7 years, you need to study more diligently the attributes of God? By what I mean by that, the characteristics of God, His holiness, His love, His mercy, His grace, His justice, everything about God, all the character and attributes of God. Why? Because you can't, even though you can't separate them, they're like a rainbow where the colors flow together, you can't separate them. We ought to look at them individually and then put them all together, because that's how we begin to know God. And the more we know God and know His character and who He is, the more comfort and hope we're going to find in all our life situations. And to know and understand that though God doesn't do it willingly with pleasure and delight, it is He who causes, it is He who brings about grief. When, where, and how He deems it necessary. Never willingly, or with pleasure or delight, that's what that means. But only when He deems it necessary in working in us that expected end. God says, I see something I need to work in you, and I've got to work it in you through grief, so I'm going to cause grief so that I can work that expected end in you. Stop and think for a minute how that should begin to comfort us in our hour of grief, that it's not an accident. You know, grief for the world is devastating. It's destructive. But grief for a child of God should bring forth something that is positive and spiritual and good. Just to understand and know that my grief, no matter what I'm going through as a child of God, is purposed by God to work something in me, should begin to make that grief bearable. I said just begin it, because the text kind of actually takes it farther, which I don't know if we'll have time today to look into, but he says, but according to His mercies, multitude of mercies, He'll have compassion on us. And I'm getting ahead of myself. But you know what compassion is? And I'm getting ahead of myself. He says, not only you need to understand that grief comes from me, that's the starting point, but here's something that adds a sweet balm to that pain. But I'm going to, according to my compassion, multitude of mercies, I'm going to show you compassion. You know what compassion is? Compassion is having pity on those who are suffering. Compassion is wanting to share in that suffering. Compassion is wanting to take part of that, to bear some of that. In all their afflictions, I was afflicted, or I am afflicted. That adds balm to the sore. But we need to begin understanding, first of all, that grief is not accidental. Purposed. It's the divine will of God. Job says, although affliction cometh not forth of the dust, neither does trouble spring out of the ground. Job 5:6. Affliction cometh not forth from the dust, neither doth the trouble spring out of the ground. In other words, it's not an accident. The writer of Job would have us to understand that not only is affliction or grief no accident, but by these words that it was a distinct and certain purpose, and it is administered precisely. It does not spring out of the ground. Affliction does not just happen. This is so important for us to understand, and I know and I believe, I've been there before, I know at first it's hard to comprehend this. But it's something we have to really pray about as believers so that we might truly grasp it. Because when grief comes, sometimes it is unexpected. It looks as like it just sprang out of the ground, out of nowhere. My brother-in-law's brother buried his wife last week. 3 weeks earlier, her dad died. Can you imagine what the mother's going through? Lost her husband and her daughter all within a month. My daughter-in-law said it came so unexpected. You didn't think it would happen. Sometimes we think it's unexpected. It just springs out of the ground. But believers take 2 steps back and they think about it and say, now, wait a minute. No, nothing is unexpected in God, in the eyes of God. Nothing is accidental. There's where we've got to start. You've got to always start with God. The problem we have when we find ourselves in distress or trouble or grief or whatever it might be, we always start with our problem. We never start with God. You need to start with God. If you look at God through your afflictions, God is small. Look at your afflictions through God's word and they become smaller. It's the opposite. The unbeliever sees nothing in their afflictions and grief except pain, agony, and despair. Who do they turn to? I feel so sorry when I have to do funerals for people, and I know that a lot of them are lost. I mean, where do they find their comfort? Where do they find sense in everything? They can't. Listen to me. They can't find any sense in anything. The only thing that made me or kept me above water in my own life when I lost my son was that there was a purpose in this. I know God. He's sovereign. That made it have some sense to it. I didn't understand it and I was hurt and painful, but that's what gave it all sense. And like these ladies, when they're talking, I felt so sorry for them because I thought, here's someone suffering under pain and agony and grief, and it makes no sense to them. They find no footing for themselves. And every time it comes up, they're like a lost child. They don't know where to go. They don't know where to turn. It's a time of grief and agony, and they want to be left alone, locked up. They don't want to deal with anybody or anything. They have nowhere to go, and I feel so sorry when I see people that are not believers, and they're suffering under that, and I think, God, thank you that you've given me a mercy seat. Thank you that you've given me a place to go to where I can share my hurt, my pain, my agony with you, and you have compassion on me. He feels what I feel. And he didn't do this because he takes pleasure in it. He didn't do it because he delights in it. He did it to give me an expected end. Yet when you see them, there's no hope. There's nothing. We all, in this world of sorrow, we all have and will continue to suffer grief. It's part of life. One of the nicknames of our Lord while he walked amongst earth was a man of sorrows. It's going to come. Yet as believers, our grief can work for us if we just by faith believe. True believer, this divine truth understood and acknowledged by faith that helps us, said Matthew Henry, a great commentator. He said, it helps us to see the love in God's heart even when we see a frown in his face and a rod in his hand. Wonderful quote, isn't it? This truth enables us to see the love in God's heart even when we see a frown in his face and a rod in his hand. That's amazing. And it's biblical. For Psalm 119:75 said this, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Your judgments are right, and thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. In faithfulness. Faithfulness to who? Faithfulness to me. Bringing about that expected end. Micah talks about knowing the rod and who ordained it. Knowing the rod and who ordained it. Let me ask you a question. And this newer generation is completely different. I understand that. But most of us are older. When we chastened our children, or when we do chasten our children, do we do it out of pleasure or delight? We do it out of love. You think they're feeling the love? I remember some of the hardest times as a father was chasing my children. I can't tell you, and I'm sure you bear witness with this, how many times I'd chasing them, go back into my room and get on my knees and pray and weep, saying, God, I pray that you keep them on the right path. Let them know that I love them. It broke my heart. I took no pleasure in it, but I knew it had to be done. Right? Our Heavenly Father is the same way. But though He calls grief, He doesn't do it willingly. He doesn't do it with pleasure and delight. You've got to understand that about God. So that when grief comes, you know you've got a God who sympathizes with you. God who has compassion for you. And that this isn't simply out of His pleasure. He's doing it for an expected end. There's a reason for it. Is it to make me stronger spiritually? Is it to show me something about the Word of God? Is it to take something out of me? Whatever it might be. God is always working in the heart and lives of a believer. And sometimes grief, even though he has to do it, he doesn't do it willingly. Grief is a vital part of that. The griefs in this present world, dearly beloved, are indisputable and certain. That goes without saying. For man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward, said Job. We're just born unto it. Yet knowing that it's God who causes them, and believing that he sovereignly and with great compassion exercises them to work in us an expected end, is our greatest comfort. It enables us, according to what Paul said, it enables us to consider such light afflictions. That's what he said. Which are but for a moment, working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory, while we look not on the things that which are seen, but on the things that are not seen. But though he caused grief, I like how the Holy Spirit words that, but though he caused grief, yet will he have compassion. And again, compassion, meaning he pities us, he feels with us, he's afflicted with us. That's hard for us sometimes to understand, especially when our grief is so severe. How can God feel what I'm feeling? You know, the shortest verse, smallest verse in the Bible, we learn as children in Sunday school, Jesus wept. There's a reason why that's in there. It was to illustrate and show how much God feels with us. He has compassion with us. They were weeping and he wept. 100% God, 100% man, but listen to this. God wept. Oh, I hear the big theologian saying, oh, God can't weep. In Christ, God wept. He had compassion. And every time we grieve, listen to me, I wanted nothing more than somebody to understand. Listen to me, every one of us that suffered grief, listen to me, and you know what I'm talking about. The biggest thing that you want is that somebody understands. The one thing you don't want is somebody who comes up and doesn't understand and tries to make you think they do. But when you get a hold of somebody who understands, yes, I've been there. I remember we went to websites to where we had grieving parents, and I listened to testimonies and videos. And it was a strange comfort in knowing and understanding that somebody else understood the measure of my grief. And then I thought, you know, nobody understands the measure of my grief more than God, even though he caused it. Imagine the comfort in that. My daughter, and this was something that really blessed my heart. You know, she's married now, and actually married into a family, got a 10-year-old girl, and a couple of weeks ago she had to discipline her. My daughter called me. They always do, don't they? She called me, she said, Dad, she goes, I remember what you told me when you disciplined me. He said, never discipline your child out of anger. Go away and settle down, calm yourself, then come back and discipline them controlled, not in anger. She said, I had to do that. And you know, Dad, it worked. But she said, when I did it, it was hard for me to do. She goes, now I think I understand what you meant. That's how God feels when you hurt, when I hurt. You listening to me? That's how God feels when you hurt, when I hurt. Though he causes the grief, yet he will have compassion. He will have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies, plural. What a comforting verse. For he doesn't afflict willingly. Never believe that God takes pleasure in our hurting. Don't ever believe that. Though he calls it, he never does it in pleasure. or because he delights in it. He does it that you and I might have an expected end. Weeping may endure for a night. What comes in the morning? But joy cometh in the morning. But though he cause grief, comes from him, yet, the Bible says, yet will he have compassion. Love that. According to the multitude of his mercies. We need to take time to think about that. There's not a whole lot of depth here if you just spend a few moments thinking about this. This is why I said, and I don't want to sound like a broken record, but this is why I said you've got to study, you've got to learn, you've got to pray, you've got to know who God is, okay? Because if we don't know who He is, how can we ever have such trust? You got to know about His mercy, His grace, His justice, His holiness, His righteousness. I told last Sunday school we've got a place where I can get pamphlets and books, and there's some excellent books out there. They're very scriptural. Pinks has a book on the sovereignty of God and the attributes of God that is short. Chapters are short, good devotional. You've got to start studying and thinking about these things and realize and understand who God is. Because as you do, then we can take comfort in these verses. Knowing God is the greatest pleasure. And Christ has given us that ability. He's come and given us an understanding that we might know Him. May God give us grace to know Him more, especially in this working in us and expected end. Amen. Think about it. Dwell on it. Meditate on it. Find comfort in it. Because we're going to need it. You're not going to make it through this life without grief. It's going to happen. But we have hope. Okay? Look to Christ. Look to God. He's done wonderful things. He's a merciful, gracious God. And I close with this thought I've been saying the whole time. Don't ever think or believe that when you're hurting, God takes pleasure in it or delight in it. He doesn't. But He deems it necessary. He'll show you mercy and grace at the same time. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that God, You would take these few minutes that we've spoken on such a deep subject, and Lord, that You'd give us an understanding of it. We pray the Holy Spirit of God would help us to meditate upon these verses today. Lord, I pray that God, You'd help us to understand and believe by faith that Father, though You cause grief, yet You'll have compassion upon us according to the multitude of Thy mercies, and that You do not afflict willingly. Father, we pray that God, we find great comfort in this. For Father, this world is a world of trouble and sorrow and woe. We need to find a great refuge, Father, for our souls. We need to find a place where we can go and know and understand that God feels, Lord, what we feel. He has compassion on us. When we're afflicted, He's afflicted. When people afflict us, they afflict the apple of His eye. Father, I pray that God, You'd help us to realize that, understand that, and find great comfort, hope, and encouragement in it. Father, we love You and we thank You for all things. Keep working in us that expected end, Father. And give us faith to believe in it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. Lord willing, we'll see you next week for the Lord's Supper. Okay? All you traveling, be safe today. Stay out of the heat. Yeah. It was. No, it was good when we came in.